Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 30th of March, recording at almost 11 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Apologies for this much later than usual audio broadcast. Just a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were quite firm. Plenty of decent gains on the upside, including Japan up 2.64%. Philippines had a big move overall. Hong Kong up 1.7%. Good move by the the H share index. Chinese A share index was down slightly. India up for the seventh straight day. The European stock markets were mostly to the plus side. Spanish IBEX market was an exception, but that was barely changed. And the Americas had some pretty decent gains here. In percentage terms, they were not as strong, but Canada and Mexico both up over 1.1%. They were all higher. The S&P was up 0.67%. Long-dated government bond prices were weaker in most countries, but a little firmer in the USA. Not a lot of action there, though. The US dollar index reversed a modest early gain to record a modest decline. We have a lot of range-bound activity here. Euro dollar, for instance, is at 141.26, sterling at 160.76. The Australian dollar has been firm, up over 103. And the yen, generally weak. That's been the big story recently. Dollar yen is currently at 82.93. Now, crude oil was down half a dollar here today for NYMEX, and the Brent is hovering just above the 115 level. Precious metals, some interesting activity here today. Gold is a little firmer here at 14.23 and 35 cents. This is the after hours trading now that we're seeing, and or the early Asian trading, I should really say. Platinum had a good day, up $30. Palladium a little firmer. Silver 37.42, not far off its highs. Industrial metals were a little weaker, and most agricultural commodities were a little weaker. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets have had a bravura performance here over the last, this started last week for the most part, and also it has continued here this week, and I think we can say, and I'm very pleased to see that, particularly in terms of the Asian stock markets, which have continued to push upwards from those 200-day moving averages following their mean reversions to those averages. This includes India getting back up, its 200-day moving average, having broken beneath it, although not decisively. And the gains that surprise me are on Wall Street and some of the European markets, which had been in. More recently had commenced, or last month commenced, mean reversion phases. And they may still be susceptible to some of that. I would say Wall Street, really impressive performance in here. And remember, mean reversion can also take the form largely of sideways ranging, although it usually includes a downward move, and normally a little bit more than we've seen from Wall Street to date. And that may still happen, but if not, we can probably identify the factors that would prevent it. One is that monetary conditions remain favorable in the sense that people keep talking about rising interest rates and the prospect for higher interest rates. But let's face it, they're still rock bottom low in Europe and the USA and in the UK. And QE2, the Fed's QE2 continues. Rates are rock bottom low in Japan, and there's every possibility that the Bank of Japan has commenced a quantitative easing phase of its own, although it's unlikely to publicize it, unlike the Fed, or that would be out of character for them to publicize it. So we have that tailwind of positive monetary conditions, negative real interest rates, meaning below rates of inflation, in just about every country. Now, also, we have had not any end to the Middle Eastern uprisings, but as a concern, well, people get used to it unless the situation is deteriorating and causing them to extrapolate it. So, you know, whereas 2 weeks ago, people were saying, well, how bad is this going to get for Saudi Arabia? Nobody's talking about that very much, and the investors even seem to be fairly calm about the probability that the Gaddafi family will be out of power in the not-too-distant future. That's the market's take on this at this stage, and of course we're still in a overall cyclical bull market, and let's enjoy the respite that we've seen from this choppy what had been a choppy phase up until last week, and that's been good for most Fuller Money themes, the mining shares included, with the conspicuous exception of the uranium miners, and that's a special story, as we know. Okay. In terms of medium-term leaders, I still expect it to be the emerging markets, but the Wall Street leash effect is currently positive. In terms of long-dated government bond prices, these are in top development phases, so the yields are in base development phases overall. I think the next significant move will be upwards for yields, therefore downwards for long-dated government bond prices. I would expect, for instance, yields to be higher by the end of this year. Now, on currencies, we have a soft dollar generally, but the really big, but it's somewhat overstretched on a number of or cross rates. But the really important story here right now, I think, is the yen, and the yen going from being an extremely strong currency to one of the weaker currencies, and I think it will weaken considerably over the medium term. That's the most interesting story by far. Crude oil. Crude oil is still uncomfortably high overall, but significantly it hasn't taken out its highs that we saw in early March. And I think it would probably take renewed tensions in the Middle East, or an increase in tensions in the Middle East, for that to happen, or some other production or a production accident somewhere else. I've described this period as a tricky one in terms of energy supplies. We've got a reduction in nuclear power output in Japan for sure, and probably in Germany. We have a tight oil market situation with Libya's production being down. So there are risks to the upside as global GDP growth improves. And although we only saw a moderate spike in crude oil, it has done some damage. If we were to get a resumption of that to the upside, it would certainly cause some economic damage. And I think at today's levels, it's a modest headwind for GDP growth. On a longer term basis, I'm quite optimistic about energy prices. Despite the setback for nuclear, I don't think that that will derail the sector the way Chernobyl did and Three Mile Island did before Chernobyl. But it is a setback. The big stories in energy, as you know, are the, if you've been listening to these audios regularly, are the shale gas technology developed in the United States, which is now moving around the globe, although we've only just begun to see the benefits of that outside of the USA. Then on its heels will be shale oil, again with technology, slightly different technology from the USA, to release some of its vast quantities of shale oil. And that technology will spread around the globe it'll take longer than with the shale gas, which has been in production for longer. But it will happen. And Owen and I feel that say by well within certainly within the decade, within another 10 years, I would say there's every chance that we will see a situation where the cost of crude oil is lower in real terms, inflation adjusted, in other words, than it is today. What about the agricultural commodities? We still have that tight supply situation in the grain and bean complex, but some of the speculative air has come out of that market. And that's good news overall in terms of taking some of the pressure off in terms of food price inflation. I expect industrial metals to remain relatively steady, and certainly the mining shares have the base metal mining shares have had a good rebound here in recent weeks, following their mean reversion tests of the 200-day moving averages. Net it all out, not a bad environment overall, with some known risks here. We just hope nothing goes too wrong with the oil supply. And on that note, all the best.